But then when the Holy Spirit opens the door, you speak. That's what compels them to come into the Father's house. They'll say, man, where do you go to church? First thing to tell them is, it isn't where I go to church that makes this difference. That's not what is attracting you to me right now. It's the love and power of God. It's the Jesus in me. That's what's doing it. That's what you want. Where I go to church is incidental. By the way, it's over there. If you want to come, you're welcome. But man, I'm talking about a living person, not a denomination. I'm talking about a living person, not your pastor. Not me as your Bible teacher. I offer you Jesus, not a denomination, not a teacher. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. That's how you're sent. And Jesus did it. Did you read the Bible? It's everywhere he went. He just walked up and down the street, walked to Samaria, and everywhere he went, he just taught and made disciples. Oh, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. You don't have to get out and come up with some program. You just let the Spirit lead you. Well, let's see what else he did. How did the Father send him? When he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. The first thing in being sent is to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Lord doesn't want lost people's money. We don't need unsaved people's money in the church. If the rest of us were paying our share, we'd air condition hell by now. You know why? Everyone would have been saved. That in effect puts out the fire of hell. If there's no one lost, there's no point for that place. Now, what is the qualification? In other words, how was Jesus sent? Look, what did we read there in Luke 4? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Step one in being sent, make sure you've been anointed by God. I don't mean just saved. Jesus was already saved for 30 years. And he was never lost, of course, but he was born again from conception. The moment Mary's egg was fertilized by Father's sperm, Mary's egg, Son of Man. Father's sperm, Son of God. He was Son of Man and Son of God. And so he says, how are you going to be sent? As the Father sent me, so send I you. How did the Father send him? Luke 4. He anointed him first with the Holy Spirit. Not the coming in, the coming upon. Hallelujah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Greek is extremely precise. Every time it talks about salvation in the Scriptures, in the Greek it says the Greek word in, E-N. He came in. And every time it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, every time, which is the same thing as being filled the first time, it's the fullness of the Spirit, it's the anointing, the coming upon, every time in the Greek, it's the Greek word epi, E-P-I. There is no way you can mistake it. I don't know why my denomination has been blind to this for years, but beloved, we have been. Maybe yours has too. But God is precise. What we need, those of us that have been born again, is not, we don't need to be reborn again. What we need now is to let the Holy Spirit have control of us, and He comes upon us. He just overflows. The living water begins to well up in us, and He just overflows us. And you can't miss it when it happens. It happened for you last week, didn't it? Hallelujah. Now, beloved, what is the qualification for being sent? First, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. You receive the anointing. But secondly, do you remember in John 14:10, Jesus said, I don't do the works, the Father in me is doing the works. See, Jesus said, hey, this is easy, fellas. This is easy. He didn't do those miracles by His God power. He was letting the Father, through the Holy Spirit, do it through Him. He says, the Father in me is doing the works. Do you remember when Jesus, in Matthew 12, He cast out demons and they accused Him of doing it by the power of Satan? Jesus said, I am doing this, it's in Matthew 12, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you know what Jesus says to you and to me in Matthew 5:5, and up 15:5 rather? I mean John 15:5. Now look, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now how did the Father send Him? First He anointed Him, and secondly, He sent Him where Jesus didn't actively do any miracles or even any teachings. Father did the works. And then Jesus comes to you and me in John 15:5 and says, without me you can do nothing. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Father in you, because of me, will do these works. Jesus says, I will perform my ministry in you, for you, and through you, as the Father sent me. Anointed. And with Father responsible for these works. And that'll liberate you from the idea of having a ministry. And it will liberate you and me from the idea of the fact that we're responsible. Hey, when God sends Tom and me to anoint the sick as elders of our church, God didn't tell me what. He just told me to anoint them when they called. He didn't tell me to heal them. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus, I can't heal anybody. But Jesus just told me to go anoint them. So I just anoint them. It's so relaxing. It's not my responsibility if they don't get healed. I just did what Jesus told me to do. If he heals them, praise God. If he doesn't, he knows what he's doing. Amen. He's a faithful God. He knows what's best. There's nothing in the Bible to tell me what to do if he didn't touch them. We start sitting there and trying to analyze it. He didn't say to analyze it. Never did once. Did he tell you to analyze that? Now the Holy Spirit may deal with that person and he may show us why. And again, he may not. There may be a sin that's keeping it from happening, but on the other hand, it just may not be God's timing. We had a lesson one time on things like that. But praise God, see, this liberates you from the responsibility of what happens. It's His ministry. You just and I are just invited to participate. Hallelujah. I hear this all the time. Oh, God needs you. Jesus needs your hands. He needs your feet. He needs your mouth. Garbage. Some God you're calling on now. My God needs nothing. My God doesn't have needs. Don't give me this stuff that God needs, our hands and our feet. What a God that he is in need. No, he doesn't need us. He loves us, and because he loves us, he allows us to participate in his ministry and receive blessings. Because, beloved, as we allow God to let us participate in his ministry, Tom, as we participate, what happens to us? We're being transformed into His image. We become, look, as we do the as we are in the ministry of Jesus, we become more like Jesus. As you go out to the heal the brokenhearted, and you see the love and mercy and compassion of God minister through you to that broken, pitiful little heart, you know what happens to you? You see the love of God. And you yourself and I am transformed and changed. We begin to respond to that and we become more loving and more compassionate. And so God lets us participate so that we can become more like Him. See, listen to me. It's not just reading what these words say. It's experiencing. And when you see it, you say, this that you read here is what you're seeing now happen. Okay? We don't need any theologians in ivory towers. We need men and women that know the Word, are filled with the Spirit, are led by the Spirit, and they will go out to men and women who are hurting, that need to be set free. So what I'm talking about, you see, is more than knowledge, for the Scriptures tells us that knowledge just by itself just puffs us up in pride. Oh, I took first place at the memorization. What do we call those over? Some sword drills. I took first place. Big deal. Big deal. I know what denomination you come from. Hallelujah. The sword drills. Yeah. And oh, I know more scriptures than anybody. You see, but beloved, how do you minister those scriptures? Again, with condemnation? Or let Jesus minister it through you? And so, beloved, as He ministers through us, as we yield to His Spirit, we become made into the image of Jesus more and more and more. It's a gradual thing because we're letting Jesus have more of us. You know, the only army that's ever shot their own wounded probably is Christians. I mean, every other army I ever read about, when their men get wounded, they go out and help them. Not us. Have you ever noticed? Let one of us get down. I'll bet you he's been cheating on his taxes. I bet he hadn't been tithing and giving love offerings because he's having financial problems. You know? Let their heart just be broken. They're having marital problems. They're having all kind of problems. And boy, we just start running them down. Have you ever noticed how much mouth trouble we have when we're not in the Spirit? It's called hoof and mouth. But beloved, Jesus' ministry has never changed. It's a ministry of compassion and mercy. And it's a ministry that divides and brings strife and it brings controversies. It did in His day and it does today. And His ministry has the same benefits it had for Him and the same suffering. You know, oh, I hear people say, oh, I'd like to suffer for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you're being led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, you won't have to want any of it. It'll just come. You don't have to go looking. His ministry has never changed. And he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. They hated him. If you're walking in the Spirit and doing what the Spirit leads you, someone's going to hate you too. I think the part that hurts the worst is usually, I can take what the heathens say about me. It just hurts so much worse when it's my brother. Have you ever noticed that? It's always your brother. Now, you need to understand why. You love your brother, so it hurts worse. See, the heathen doesn't love you, so it doesn't hurt nearly as bad. You expect it. Come on. Who says things that hurt you the most? Husbands, it's your wife. Wife, it's your husband. You know why? Because you love each other and you expect more. And it's the hardest. It's so easy. You'll forgive a total stranger before you'll forgive the one you love the most. See, I wonder how I know that. Well, I want you to all know I cannot claim supernatural knowledge on that one. That's practical experience. But beloved, there was a price to pay then in Jesus' day for being disciples, and there's a price to pay today. And I want you to know that you don't have to pretend or imitate to be like Jesus. You just yield to Jesus who's alive within you, and I yield to Jesus who's alive within me. He is making us into His image. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that better than you trying to do it? Can anyone in this room really tell me that you believe you can transform yourself by gritting your teeth and getting determined to make yourself in the image of Jesus or even anything that comes close? Look, Christ does the molding. What He wants is just a lump of yielded clay so He can get one hand in the inside, that's salvation, and the other hand on the outside, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's the anointing. You see, when you get your hand on the inside, you can make it hold water, but the rest of the world can't see much. That piece of clay doesn't look like too much sitting on that spindle turning when the hand's just on the inside. Oh, praise God, that's a lot better than not when it wasn't in there at all. At least it holds some water now, and water does give life. But boy, when that water gets to the outside, you know, that clay gets kind of dry sometimes, and the guy's got to put some more water on that outside, splash some water up there, and that water is the Holy Spirit, the living water, so that God can get that hand to mold in the shape He wants. No, you don't have to try to be like Jesus. Just let Jesus be Himself through you and through me. Praise God. Now, beloved, look with me real quickly at John 14. This is a tremendous scripture. Have you ever noticed that Jesus in the scriptures made just bold, audacious, bodacious statements? Has anyone ever noticed that He was kind of renowned for doing things like that? I'd like to begin at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? That's how Jesus was doing all this stuff. Father was in Him and He was in Father. Well, the good news tonight, if you've been born again, is you're in the same situation. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, He does the works. Beloved, what does Jesus say? As the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus says the words. Now, how did the Father send Him? By giving Him words and works. These are Father's words, He said, not mine. And these are Father's works, not mine. And then He says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Let it be Father's words. Let Father tell you when it's time to do that work. Don't get ahead of God. Be like Jesus. Let Father give you the words. Now, one way He's going to give them to you is by yielding to the teachings of the Scripture. But we're going to find out tonight that's not the only way. See, too many of us try to rush out into the ministry. And the truth of the matter is, we needed to rush into His presence and to get to know Him, to sit at His feet and to learn of Him, to wait until we do so, to come into His presence, to learn of Him. You see, until you do that, you haven't learned anything to say yet. Until we come and hear what He says, then when we hear what He says, we can say things. But we're so busy sometimes racing out that we don't wait to hear what He's saying. Jesus said that my words came from Him. I waited to see what He had to say. You see, God is more interested in our knowing Him and our loving Him than He is in our service. Do you remember Martha and Mary? I want to read that to you. It's in Luke in chapter 10, but don't leave that place. We're coming right back to there. In Luke in chapter 10, the case of Martha and Mary. Verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her that she should help me serve. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are fretful and anxious and troubled about many things. But only one thing is really needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken from her. Beloved, Jesus didn't say service wasn't important there. He said, sitting at His feet, hearing His words, and learning of Him was first and most important. Then the service would just happen. See, we want to race out and make service happen. When Jesus says, oh, when you sat at my feet for a while, as you're going into the world, the Holy Spirit will just, you'll just hear people say, boy, I wish I knew how to, and you'll just be able to turn and say, I know the answer to that. You won't even have to try. You'll hear it all around you. And you'll recognize the Spirit opening that door. Praise God. Let's come back to John. John chapter 14 and verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else at least believe for the very work's sake. Verily, verily. Now, when Jesus says that, that means pay close attention. The Greek word here is amen. A-M-E-N. Amen, amen is what he's saying. Amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask, isn't that a rather bold statement? What an audacious statement that Jesus has just made. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That everybody will praise me and think I'm Mr. Wonderful. Said, oh, did you see those magic hands of his? He just laid them on that person and they got healed. Nope. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. It's obvious that many of the things that we ask for and are not in His name. Because when you're in the Spirit of God, you'll find out that there's just things that you don't ask for anymore you used to ask for because you're in the Spirit. Those things aren't important anymore. New things become important. You find yourself praying for souls and brothers and sisters that are in trouble instead of some of the other things we used to pray about all the time. And then when we do that, all of a sudden those things start falling in and they just come into place. They just start happening because, as we sang tonight, seek ye first the kingdom of God there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And He will add the things to us. But we're seeking the things first, and that's where we're out of order. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus says, how do I know you love me? You keep my commandments. Does that mean we're back under the law? No, it means you just let the Spirit of God live the life of Jesus through you. And He produces the righteousness demanded by the law and more. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. That when we're walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God produces in us automatically all the righteousness that the law ever demanded and more. Because we're being controlled by a living person, not by 10 cold laws written on granite. Hallelujah. Now, how are we going to perform this ministry of Jesus? Jesus said, now wait a minute, fellas. Look, all this, someone says, oh, Brother Floyd, my goodness. What are those greater works? How, what are they? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's talking about greater in quantity. There's a lot more of us in the ministry today than there was in his day, but you'll find out in a minute that's not the only thing he was talking about. What did he mean, greater works? We would do the same things he did and greater. Boy, doesn't that put you under bondage? Lou, what are you going to do? I mean, you can go home and go to sleep tonight all torn up. How am I going to do something greater than God, than Jesus did? Well, he thought you and I might ask that question, so he answers it for us, okay? Praise God, the answers are in the Scripture. It's verse 16. Now he says, now here's how you're going to do all these wonderful things. I will pray to the Father. Hey, you didn't even have to do that. He's going to take the initiative and even pray for this for you. And He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither even knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you. Now this was to them, the new covenant hadn't begun yet. And He shall be in you. The Holy Spirit was with those old covenant people. He just wasn't in them. There was a new covenant promise. I will not leave you comfortless. Hey, you would have had no comfort or peace if God told you that Jesus was going to do His ministry through you. And it was up to you. He says, oh, no, no. I'm going to give you the Comforter. Therefore, I will come. Look at that, verse 18. I will come to you. I'm going to do this. Praise God. And so, beloved, what are those greater works? Well, let me say this. It's not our responsibility to perform these greater works. So, He says, I'll send the Comforter. Now, the Holy Spirit, who's the Comforter, He knows what those greater works are. I don't. I can sit here and guess at them all day. I don't have to know because, beloved, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, it will be His responsibility to perform these greater works. And you and I won't even have to try and figure out what they are. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit's problem. And we're sitting here arguing with each other, doctrinally sometimes, you know, about what these greater works are. Over in my denomination, we said it was the bus ministry and television ministry and radio ministry. Now, that is a cop-out for our position on the fact that God is no longer doing miracles. And so the question, beloved, again, so that you know where we're heading, Jesus says, I want you to participate with me in my ministry. I'm going to allow you. Now, what did we do? What did we say first? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the anointing, and then as the Father sent me, so send I you. And so the issue tonight is simply this. Either Jesus is alive today and moving to perform His ministry by His Spirit, or it's up to us. Whew, what a load. Poor Jesus needs help. He's gone away and left the whole program squarely up to us. Oh, no, He didn't. He said, I leave you the Comforter. He will do these works that I did and greater works. Well, the next question that ought to come to your minds is, well, who qualifies for this ministry? I mean, am I qualified, Floyd? Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Hallelujah. Who qualifies for this ministry? Praise God, the answers are in the Scriptures. Would you begin with me at verse 26? Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren. Aha. Here's the calling. Here's the calling. The call to participate. And who did He call it to? Brothers. Hallelujah. You see your calling, brothers. In other words, if you've been born again, you qualify for what we're about to read. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Uh-oh. Boy, isn't that ego deflating? I used to think when, you know, gosh, Lord, but how about all that science training I had? How about all my grades? And how about the... Sorry, Floyd. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Oh, my goodness, Lord, that hurts. Now I'm foolish. I mean, it was bad enough when He said He's not calling many wise after the flesh, not many mighty after the flesh, not many noble after the flesh. But now he even says foolish. And God has chosen the weak things of this world, and now I'm weak, to confound those which are mighty, and the base things of this world. Oh, my God. Has anyone in here ever looked up the meaning of the word base? I mean, if you didn't know, that's... Oh, Lord. Lord. God chose these things to bring to naught those things that are. All of those things I was so proud of bringing to God. God, my great... That intellect, that training, that school, all those degrees. Father, boy, have you upped the kingdom status when you saved me and sent me out to teach. Father says, no, what I picked were those that were base and despised and weak. And you know, when finally God began to deal with me on ego, and I began to look at myself the way God looked at me, I found out I qualified to be sent into His ministry. I found out I qualified on every point. There was a time in my life when I thought I was so wonderful that really all God was ever going to have to do to me was dust off my knees and a little dust on my coat. And I mean, I was so near perfect to start with. And then all of a sudden I came to the cross. After I got saved, I really saw the cross and really saw my position as a creature off the throne with self, where self had been on the throne. And all of a sudden I saw God on the throne and how it was that He had gotten there. what it cost him to be on the throne of my life. Suddenly I said, yes, Lord, I'm foolish. I'm not wise after the flesh. You see, it says here in verse 26, but you see your calling, brothers. You know the scripture in Matthew 22 says, many are called, but few chosen. You know why? Because they didn't want to come God's way. Oh, God called, but they wanted to come like Cain, their own way. Yes, God. Cain was very religious. He knew God was there. I mean, only a fool goes and makes a sacrifice not believing there's any God around. No, he knew there was a God around. But he rejected God's way, and God rejected him. And so God calls. But the question, who's called? Who is called? All of you that qualify with me in being called base, foolish, weak, despised, not wise by the things of this world. Well, when you see yourself like that, you're qualified. While you still think that you're going to offer God something, oh, God, can you use my ability to orate? Oh, God, I've got a great memory. Can you, Lord, what a singing voice I have. Oh, I can just thrill at that. While you and I still think like that, God can't use us. The cross has not yet dealt with that part of our life. Beloved, unbroken vessels do not produce eternal results. And until you really see the cross, you're not broken. You remember Gideon? The Bible says we have this treasure in our clay vessels, our earthen vessels, this Holy Spirit, this Jesus. You remember Gideon? When did the light shine? It was when they broke those clay vessels that the light came forth and the enemy was put to the run. When God did it. That's our problem. We still think we've got something big to offer God. And we have nothing. We just accept to surrender. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, it's very simple in this. Let's keep reading here. This is so good. Verse 29. Why is God going to do it this way? That no flesh should glory in His sight. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who all of God is made unto us. He's our wisdom. Jesus is our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. Some of you thought you were going to sanctify yourself. That says Jesus is a sanctifier. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord.